With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. In the last 5 years, Vilas County has gone from about 5% of homes and businesses with high-speed broadband access to 86%. Building up the fiber internet access has been a major goal of the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation. WXPR's Katie Thorson gives us an update.
The Vilas County Economic Development Corporation had a lot of big plans in mind when it set a goal of getting 90% of the county connected to fiber broadband. It's meant to support the residents and businesses already established in the county, another to entice residents with second homes to stay longer. Jim Tuckwell is the VCEDC board chair.
People were telling us then, if I had broadband, I'd spend more time here, particularly our seasonal homeowners. And now they're telling us, I am spending more time here. Yeah. And they're telling us what they're doing. And it's just really, really encouraging.
The VCEDC is also hoping now that broadband is established in most of the county, remote workers or entrepreneurs will choose to move to the area. VCEDC Executive Director Kathy Schmitz says they've already seen signs of it working.
I met with two more remote workers who were here from different parts of the country who moved here, and they're tech people, and they're able to do that from Vilas County, and they absolutely love it. You know, they love it. They had family connections here, but now that they're here, they want to stay. And it's so exciting to see this energy here. And so we're happy to help and support them as in any way that we can.
VCEDC is launching a broadband destination campaign called Northwoods Charm, Big City Connection. They'll be targeting people throughout Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, and the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
The exceptional expansion of high-speed broadband here has made it possible to have a slower, simpler life while maintaining a successful career. I've created a life here that I don't need to take a vacation from.
The ads will appear on streaming services and on social media. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
ATV and UTV use ramps up during the summer. While the machines can be fun, they can also be dangerous, especially for kids. Emergency medicine doctor Danny Yarger with Aspirus Health says that children and teens are hospitalized 30% more often than adults following ATV and UTV crashes.
When kids get into these accidents, they tend to have more severe injury. The younger the child, the more the severe the injury is. It's rated by what's called the ISS or Injury Severity Scale. And as the age decreases, the ISS increases.
Lieutenant Jake Holzclaw, administrative warden with the Wisconsin DNR, talked about some of the factors seen in youth crashes.
You have the inexperience, you have the maybe driving too fast or operating a machine that's too big for them. That's another common thing. Children are getting hurt on private lands, farms, things like that. They're hopping on a machine that's basically built for an adult. And when that happens, they're not able to control it properly.
Holzclaw says in 2024, Wisconsin had 6 fatalities that involved people under 18 years old. Wisconsin does require an ATV safety course before riding for anyone born after 1987. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has approved new rules for election observers in the state. The commission voted 5-1 in favor of the package. It's meant to offer clarity on things like who can observe elections, says what election observers can do, and creates a more streamlined set of instructions for election observers. Things spelled out by the rule include how close observers can stand to voters, what documents they can review, and outlines the use of recording devices. It also details how an observer can be removed if they don't comply with the rule. The new rules take effect August 1st. As Michigan aims to support 2 million electric vehicles by 2030, the new Equitable EV Action Plan framework could help local leaders with the transition. We get details from Crystal Blair.
The framework was developed by UC Berkeley's Center for Law, Energy, and Environment and their partners, including nonprofit Michigan Clean Cities. The plan outlines steps local governments can take to build EV infrastructure and improve accessibility, particularly in underserved communities. In a recent Clean Fuels Michigan webinar, Jeffrey Huang of Michigan Clean Cities shared insights about the plan.
The focus of this framework is ensuring that community voice and impact is prioritized with these plans. To actually receive public input on where EV chargers, EVSC, should be placed within the city. So actually going out to residents and just asking.
The framework recommends first identifying key agencies and staff involved. Then those agencies can decide which action steps matter most for their community and how they should be prioritized. Still, many EV critics contend that affordability is a big issue for everyday families, even with tax credits. Backers say the plan helps cities plan for an EV future, not just for personal vehicles, but also rideshare services, e-bikes, and e-scooters. It also recommends outreach and funding strategies for transit projects, along with examples of successful pilot programs. Huang adds the framework can be viewed as a resource that connects people to other helpful resources.
It feels like there's so much knowledge and great experience and expertise throughout the industry. So it provides quick access, you know, just a quick control F, search for whatever kind of resource that you might need.
The framework also highlights the need for collaboration among local departments, such as planning, transportation, and public works, to ensure EV access is implemented effectively and equitably. For the Michigan News Connection, I'm Crystal Blair.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.